Samuel chapter 3. I was thinking, as Brother Hickson was singing that song, think about this with me. Do you think there may be a time in heaven where we might get to sing for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be an honor? Do you know that when we stand here in church and we sing congregational hymns, we're singing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? And when our choir sings, they're singing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Brother Hickson sings a special, he's singing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what else? The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst. He meets with us today. Amen? I want to open your attention to some things here, if I could, Lord willing, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I just want to begin by mentioning that we trust God's goodness to us. Amen? In times that are difficult, in days that are dark, the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne, and he still has a plan, and it's a blessing to be a part of it. Yesterday morning, I went over to Brother Dahlman's house to help him move some pavers. Did you get very far along on that project? Oh, amen. So he got quite a bit of work done, and it was hot, and we were moving. He was putting them down. We were hauling them a little bit, and then I came over here, and I did some things for the ladies' luncheon, which was a great success, by the way, and thank all of you. The ladies that aren't in here right now, be sure you thank them. They worked all day Friday. They worked all morning Saturday, and a lot of other work went into it. Mrs. Schaefer and Veronica and Mrs. Leader and some others. Just praise the Lord for what they did. And we had almost 50 ladies came out yesterday for that luncheon. So anyway, long about noon when I'd run a couple of errands and done some work, I got to thinking, you know, it's a blessing to serve God. What else would you rather do with your time than serve God? Amen? Isn't he good to us? And isn't he good that he saved us and that he keeps us and that he's going to take us home to be with him one day and he answers our prayers? So don't give up, folks. Let's just dig in and let's see God's plan as it's unfolded in our lives. And I want you to see God's plan unfolding in a little boy's life. A little boy's name is Samuel. I don't know how old he is during this passage, but he's not very old. Let's just speculate, maybe 10 or 12, maybe 8 or 10. We don't know for sure, but we can see what God's doing here. And I need to remind you before we open or read the passage of what's happening in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, you might remember we had seen earlier that Eli, the high priest, had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas, and these men are abusing the sacrifice of the Lord for their own benefit. And Samuel, his mother had prayed for a child and promised that if God would give her a child, that she would lend him to the Lord for his entire life. And so even as the days in Israel were dark, and by the way, they're about to get darker because not too many chapters hence, we're going to see the Israelites lose a battle. And when they lose that battle, the Ark of the Covenant is going to be taken captive. I'm sorry if my sense of humor is a little bit off, but I have to chuckle at what happened to the Philistines after they thought they could take the ark away from the Israelites, and we're going to get to see some of that here in a few weeks. It's an interesting story. But today we're going to focus on Samuel and his call from God. And so if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, and I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and on behalf of these people, I lift up our prayer to you. And God, I thank you for the privilege it is to open the Word of God and to proclaim it. But Lord, in weakness, there's very little that I can do. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to us today, and we ask that somehow, through weakness, the Holy Spirit would be strong. You promised that when we're weak, you are strong. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to our church today through the Word of God. Pray that you'd speak to us in a way that's so clear and so plain that when we leave, we would know that we heard the message that came from you. Father, this morning our hearts can be heavy in some regard because we would desire that perhaps you would do some things that we haven't yet seen you do. But Lord, we have seen you do some great things. And we do know that you're a great God. And we know that your plan is always best and that you promised us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. But Lord, this morning we would also claim that promise that you've given us in Jeremiah where you said, Call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Lord, I just ask you this morning to do great things in our midst. I pray that our people would truly be the people of God. I pray that each one of us would hear your call in whatever regard you choose to give it, just like Samuel finally heard your call and finally answered, Speak, thy servant heareth. I pray we would have that same response. And Lord, today help us to examine ourselves and to understand where we stand in regard to you. I pray that the things that are done in these next few moments would be done by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And that our people would have a privilege of hearing what you have to say to them today through the Bible. Pray that you'd bless the children's church this morning. And please be with all those who are part of our number who are not with us this morning. And care for them and lift them up. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading my Bible this week, and I was as I prepared for this message, I began to read here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I just kept on reading, and I read, and I read, and I read. I read all the way through until David becomes the heir apparent, where Samuel anoints him to be king, and I look at David's life, and I look at Samuel's life, and I look at the difficulty that Saul caused, and all those troubles and trials that were taking place there in Israel. And when you look at things like that and you compare those to your life, things aren't quite so bad. I read about Job this morning in my devotion, and I read what Job endured, and I think to myself, you know, things aren't quite so bad. We look around us and we live in a world that is darkening and darkening and darkening as the days go by. There is less and less of the Word of God being proclaimed. There are fewer men of God preaching the Word of God. There are fewer churches. There are fewer missionaries, and I'd pray that there'd be more, but God knows. And you compare that to the situation here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and there's a kind of a metaphor, if you will. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, Ere, or right before, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. And there's a picture there of the darkness that's coming along. And just before that darkness becomes complete, God sees fit to call a little child and to reveal some things to him and to make him the judge of Israel And he made the difference as he became that man of God that was the last judge. He made the difference between what things could have been or should have or would have been, I should say, in Israel and what they were. He made the difference. And folks, this may seem trite to you or it might not, but I want you to know you and I can make a difference in a dark world. Wow, that was quiet. That almost scares me. Let me try that again. You and I can make a difference in a dark world. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, how am I going to make a difference? Only if God works through you. You say, Pastor, I can't do it. I know, I can't either. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I know, I don't either. But that's not what God's asking us. God's not asking us to have the strength that makes the difference or to have the wisdom that makes the difference. He's asking us to be useful in His hands. He's asking us to just simply say to Him, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. That's a telling statement. There's two or three things about that statement. I'm going to break it down in just a minute, but I'll just point out right now, it is a privilege. It is a blessing. It is the absolute best and only right way to spend your time is to serve God. You say, well, Pastor, I've got a job and I've got to go to work. I know that. But even when you go to work, you can be a servant of God. God didn't call everyone to full-time Christian service, but He called everyone to be full-time Christians. And the fact of the matter is, wherever you work or wherever you go, if you're retired and the people that you meet or wherever it is that you might be, you have the opportunity to be a mouthpiece for the Lord, to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be a testimony, whether you're a pastor or a missionary or a Christian school teacher or a person with a secular job or whatever it might be, you can be a servant of God. Full-time Christians. God is in the process in this passage of preparing Samuel to be the judge, the last judge of Israel. Preparing Samuel to be useful to him, to God, throughout his life. And the first thing, so to speak, one of the first things that God has to do is He has to have Samuel's ear. Now, it's almost a humorous story if you read it, you think about what's happening here. Eli has gone to bed. Samuel has gone to bed. The lights are getting dim. And Samuel hears a voice. And the assumption is, well, Eli must need something. And I like the young man's attitude, amen? How many of our children would get up at 1 in the morning or whatever and come help us if we called? It's usually the other way around, right? And but he hears the voice and he thinks it's Eli. And he goes to Eli and says, here I am, what can I do? Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. He goes back to bed. He hears the voice again. He goes to Eli. Eli, you called me, what can I do? That's a pretty good attitude right there, coming twice. Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. Third time, Eli, what can I do? I didn't call you. And then finally Eli realizes, oh, I see what's happening. God's calling. Now think with me. How did that make Eli feel? How did that make Eli feel? Why has God chosen to talk to a child rather than the high priest? That's intimidating. But the truth of the matter is, the high priest has already made a decision. His decision was to honor his sons over God, so God can't use him anymore. So God's not talking to him anymore. Now, I want to ask you something, and don't be frightened. I just want to ask you something. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? I'm not talking about audibly. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? When's the last time God said something and you knew in your heart, 100% sure, that's God talking to me? Has He ever? I've heard God's voice. In fact, I heard God's voice this morning. It's right here. And He speaks to us. Now, he may not always talk about what I want to talk about, but He always talks about something important. He might not teach me what I wanted to hear that day, but He always teaches me something valuable. And shame on any of us, myself included, for those days that we did not open the Word of God and hear what God had to say and develop that lifelong relationship with Him. I'm not going to be long this morning. I've said that before and misled you, but I'm going to try to be brief, all right? I want to show you what had to happen before Samuel could hear from God. And I think this would apply to each of us, and it's a message to all of us, myself included. What's going to have to happen before we hear from God? First of all, I'm saving the best for last, by the way, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. First of all, if we're going to hear from God, we need to be in a place where God can speak to us. I'm jumping around a little bit. Look at verse 9. This is after Eli has told Samuel a couple of times already, and he says to Samuel, in fact, he says this every time, but he says it in verse 9. He says, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And I'm interested in that phrase there, "go and lie back down." In other words, Eli sends Samuel back to that place where God was willing to speak to him. You say, "Pastor, what on earth do you mean by that?" Okay. When you and I want to hear from God, let me even say it differently. If you and I are to hear from God, we need to be in a place where God can reach us. I'll give you some examples. If you have a sin in your life that you are harboring, you are protecting, you have grown so accustomed to that sin that sin is something you have decided, "I will not let go of this sin," then I need to remind you, sometimes sin won't let go of you. But you've decided, "I won't let go of that sin. That's something that I am going to keep. I know God doesn't want it, but I want it, and so I've made that decision." You are keeping God from being able to use you. And my proof here, or my evidence here, would be the very fact that God didn't speak to Eli. Eli made a decision. Eli was right there in the temple. By the way, he was a very religious man. If you had a question about religion, Eli could answer that question. If you had a question about the law, Eli could have answered that question. He knew the Word of God. He knew what the Bible said in the part that they had at that point in time. He certainly knew the Pentateuch. He knew the religious ordinances, and he knew. And this man, as the high priest, had walked into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood upon the mercy seat. He was as religious as anybody ever got. But he harbored a sin. He preferred his sons over God, allowing them to be wicked when he should have put a stop to it. And because of that, God couldn't speak to him. I think it tells really something even worse than that, and that is he really didn't want to hear from God as much as he wanted to maintain that situation with his sons. He wasn't willing to put a stop to that, pay the price for that, and as a result, he forfeited his communication with God. Folks, I want to hear from God. I want our church to hear from God. I want our church members to hear from God. I would rejoice to hear our church members come to me someday and say, "Pastor, this morning I was doing my devotion and God said this to me." True story. Church in Utah, I don't know, 25 years ago, they were contemplating a building project. And they had been contemplating this project for a number of years. And so time comes that they're getting close to making a decision as to whether or not to step out and start this project. And they'd been praying about it. And so that morning, the pastor, he's sitting in his office, and this lady came by the church to visit. And she said, "Pastor, I just wanted to tell you something. I was reading in my Bible this morning. I was having my devotions, and God showed me a verse that says it's time for us to build." Well, he said, "That's nice." And so the lady left. And in a minute, here came the secretary. Didn't know what the first lady was there for. And the secretary came to the pastor, and the secretary came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, in my devotions this morning, I saw a verse, and God says it's time to build." What neither of those ladies knew was that that morning, the pastor in his devotions had seen a verse that said, "It's time to build." I think it's time to build, amen? And that's the way God works sometimes. Sometimes God, you know, we worry about God being obvious enough. Sometimes God's terribly obvious. And I like those times really well. I'd like for us as a church to be that close to God to where we can hear from Him. Amen? But you're going to have to be in the place in your life where He can speak to you. There's a second thing. And look at this, if you will. Once again, let's look at verse 10. "The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, this is just a little development of what I already said. It's not just being in the place where God can speak to you. It's being willing to hear what the Lord has to say. You say, "Well, Pastor, how could anybody not be willing to hear what the Lord has to say?" Well, again, if they've got their own agenda, if they've got their own plans for their life, I've heard people say this, I may have even said it myself sometimes, "What if God calls me and I have to give all this up?" But folks, when you get called by God, I guarantee you what He's got is better than what you got. The life He has for you is better than the life you have for you. And so if you're afraid that God's going to change something in your life, no, the thing is, you should be afraid God's not going to change something in your life. Samuel says, "Lord, I'm listening. Speak to me. I'm ready to hear from you." And then he even uses that word servant. And here's what he says. He says, "Lord, when you tell me what to do, I'll serve you. I'll do it." Now again, it's a privilege to serve God. God doesn't need us. We need Him. God doesn't have to use us. God could have written the gospel in the stars. God could have written the gospel on the back of every rock on the face of the earth. He told the disciples when they were walking into Jerusalem that if these people had not praised Jesus, even the stones would have cried out. Wouldn't that be interesting? You're on a hike up in the mountains and you walk by a rock and the rock says, "You need to be saved." That's interesting. And you turn and look at it and the rock says, "Jesus died for your sins." You say, "Well, that'll never happen, Pastor." It could have. You know, God chose to use something different from rocks. He chose something different from stars. He chose something different from revealing salvation through nature, although He reveals Himself through nature, but He reveals salvation through the Word of God through us. We are the mouthpiece. When I read this Bible, and I look at the words in this book, and I hear the words in this book, I say "hear," but I really only hear them in my mind. I can hold this book to my ear all day long, no sound will emit. And there are people out there that won't open this book. There are people in homes in our community. There are people in our workplaces. There are people in our families. And they're never going to open this book. And there's never going to be an audible voice come to them with the words of this book unless you and I do. Amen? We're the audible voice of God. A couple of times this week, some people were kind enough to communicate with me and just say something encouraging. And I thought to myself, what a blessing that is that somebody would want to be an encouragement. But it's the very same thing when it comes to the gospel. What a blessing it is that someone brought you and I the gospel. Somebody opened their mouth and spoke, and they were ready to be a servant of God and to be used. And folks, today you sit here right now and you say, "Well, Pastor, could God use me?" Yes, He could. Say, "Pastor, would God let me tell somebody the gospel?" Oh, He wants you to tell somebody the gospel. Say, "Well, Pastor, if I told him, what if I kind of messed it up?" You'll get better. And then one of these days you'll tell somebody the gospel and they'll believe it and they'll pray and ask Jesus to save them. And then you know what you've done? You've borne fruit. And now that person is going to get saved and grow up into the ability to tell others about the gospel. This morning I was looking around my backyard, and I don't know why I'm so excited about this, but I get a kick out of having citrus trees in my yard. Some of you are thinking, "Oh, no more lemons, please." But I like citrus. I just do. And when you got too many lemons, give them to me. We'll make lemonade. I love lemonade. And I look in my yard and I can see back there some little green pieces of fruit on some of those trees. I'm thinking, "Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Just what, 9 more months and we'll have fruit?" And I'm just looking forward to that product there. But somewhere along the way, somebody had to plant a tree, had to plant a seed in order for that tree to grow up and make fruit. In your life, aren't you glad somebody planted a seed? Aren't you glad God caused the increase? That's what the Bible says. God gave the increase. And now you and I, we may be ripe and ready to produce fruit, or we may be green and you need to learn some more. Just keep on growing. God wants to use you. One more thing and I'm done. I told you I'd try and be quick. If you're going to hear from God, you're going to be in a place. You've got to be in a place where God can speak to you. You've got to be willing to hear what the Lord has to say. Now, this is the one that jumped out at me loud as loud when I saw this passage. You got to know it's God talking. You must know it is God who is speaking. Watch what happens here. Look at verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. It was the Lord. And he called. And Samuel said, "Here am I." He was available. But it stopped right there. In verse 6, the Lord called again. He said, "Samuel." And Samuel, he heard and he said, "Here am I." It stopped right there. And the same thing happened in verse 8, the third time. He said, "Here am I." He responded to the call. But that's as far as it went. Why didn't God keep talking? Because Samuel thought it was the voice of Eli. Samuel thought it was the voice of a man. And folks, if you're going to hear from God, you've got to hear from God. It's got to be the voice of the Lord. When you hear from God, and you don't think it's God speaking to you, God stops right there. And you need to understand who God is and what God is doing. It's God that's speaking to you. I'm going to just read a passage to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians is the very first epistle Paul wrote, 55 AD. And he praises these people over and over for the example that they were. He says this, he says, "For this cause we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Thessalonians, when they heard the word of God from Paul, they knew it was God, Paul giving them the message, but they knew it was God's word. And just for the record, Thessalonica was a Greek place and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. If it's not the word of God, you're not going to hear from God. If it's not God's word to you, it's not going to be, God's not going to be able to speak to you. And until Samuel stopped believing that Eli was the one talking, God had no more to say to him. Listen to me, I believe with all my heart, and I'm trying to be just in God's kindness to tell you this, God wants to speak to each one of us. And he promised us that he would keep his words available to us. I'm glad he did. God keeps his promise. That doesn't surprise me, but I'm glad he made that promise. And when God said that he would keep these words from this generation forever back in David's day, folks, today we have the word of God. And you can sit down in your home anytime you have time. And by the way, a quiet place like Samuel had is a good idea. You can sit down in a quiet place, undisturbed, and God will speak to you. Did you hear what I said? God will speak to you. That's amazing. The God that created the universe, that put the stars in the sky, that created every plant and every animal and all the beautiful features we see on this earth, the God that did all those things, the God that is so powerful that he could make a thing people call a black hole. They don't understand quite how it works, but they know how powerful it is. They look at the sun, they see how powerful it is. God put that out there just like that. The very same God that's that powerful will speak to you individually, have something to say to you. The very same God that sent his son to die for the sins of the world. What do we got? 7 billion people on the planet now? Astounding how big that number is. And that's just right now. What about generations before? And who knows how many billion people have lived except for God himself. And the same God that sent his son to die to pay for the sins of the world, as the Bible says, that same God would speak to you individually and to me. I think our prayer ought to be the same as Samuel's prayer. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And then get ready to see what God has to say. And the next week, we're going to look at what God has to say. And it's a message of judgment. But it's also a message that prepares Samuel to be used by God for the rest of his life. And God would do that for you and I. Amen? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Every head